just get so joyful listening to you guys. Man, we were kind of laughing about the energy in the room when we all came together to pray before the service. And we were about to all float out above the floor in the room because the energy was so high. And what's really fun is kind of watching the groupie wives here on the... y'all are as cute as they are. I mean, really, really sweet. But there is such a lovely, it's true, such a lovely synergy that you bring. It's not just four guys that make good music together. It's something bigger than the sum of your parts. So thank you for what you bring to us. Aww. And it feels like ages since I've stood up here to speak with you. And I guess the last time that I spoke was Christmas Eve. Yeah, that's been a little while. But I think I still remember how. So let's talk. Let's have a conversation. You know, there's a lot of information coming to us about the universe from far out imaging instruments that are out there, way out, you know, past the edge of our solar system. I don't know if you saw one of the latest things that they found, but it's a great big potato-looking thing. Pretty unphenomenal, except for the fact that we've got perfectly clear images of this big, dull, brown potato that is beyond our solar system. And it's just a little bit mind-blowing because if you look at the picture of where we are in our galaxy on the edge, we're just a tiny, tiny little dot on the edge. And then when you think about how many billions of galaxies there are, and when you think about the fact that that astrophysicists still aren't sure whether the universe is still expanding from the original Big Bang or not. When you think in those terms, then don't we start to feel really, really tiny. And the eternal paradox that we live with here on this plane, in this existence, is being that tiny little dot in the universe, infinitesimal, word for the day. And yet, our lives make an incredible difference. So we live with that paradox all the time. If you think only in, oh gosh, I have something to do on this earth, and that's as far as you get with it, then there's a possibility that you could become, that any of us could become a little too self-absorbed, that we could get a little too arrogant or obnoxious, insufferable, annoying, and people wouldn't want to be around us. Therefore, our purpose would be naught. If you think in terms of the vastness of the universe, you might say, why should I bother? What difference could I possibly make? So there is a balance for us that whether or not there is proven intelligence in the universe out there, probably there is, when you think about that, then we have to begin to see ourselves. I'm trying to shape this orbit that we create. We still have to see ourselves as a vital part of the expression of the total divine. So I thought I'd start out with that small subject today. Just great universal truths. But I want to take us back to the very basics of what we've learned in Unity. Just as Kit is talking about the basic teachings of Science of Mind, they are hand in hand with the basic teachings of Unity because all the teachers came from the same place in their education, in their forward thinking, in their basic ideas. So in unity, just for review, the first basic principle is that there's only one presence and one power, and that's God. And I know when I first heard that, when I first came into unity, I thought, what are we going to do with Satan then? Does he know that there's only one presence and one power? Because that kind of puts him out of a job. And so I had to kind of reconcile, no devil. And the devil made me do it. Was funny when Flip Wilson did it. It was Flip Wilson, wasn't it? Okay. See, Marilyn, where are you? I remember, vaguely. The devil made me do it. It's funny, but it's not not true. If we're going to do something that we wish we hadn't done, it's all us. So there you go. The second one is that the spirit of the Christ lives in each one of us. Not the spirit of the Jesus, but the spirit of the Christ, which is the anointed one, the divine essence, lives in each one of us. And of course, coming from some of our backgrounds, we would say, oh, how dare we? Yeah? But yes, we do dare to believe that, to know that truth. And then the third one is that our thoughts create our experiences. Our thoughts create our reality. Our thoughts create our reactions to the world and our life experience. That one was a little tougher because that puts all the responsibility on us. The blame game ends. Bummer. Get back to that in a moment. The fourth one is that prayer and meditation are the way that we stay in touch with the divine. And the fifth one is that we're going to apply these principles practically in our lives every day, or else they are just theories and they do us no good unless we practice them. So that's how unity got the name of practical Christianity. Okay, so that's the review of the basic five. And we teach that in language that's appropriate, from toddlers to teens to here we are. And so today I want to talk a little bit about that creative principle, because we have been setting ourselves up to talk about that third principle, that law of mind action, since December 30th. December 30th is when the Burning Bowl service happened. And even if you weren't here for the Burning Bowl service, I was not here for the Burning Bowl service. I was coming back from Vegas. That's where I burned last year, almost literally. That's the first time I've ever gone to Las Vegas. I think it's probably wise, as standing at this point, to that I didn't go until I was a little more mature in my life. So that was helpful. But we burned off all the things we were willing to let go of, that we were ready to let go of, even the things that we weren't quite ready to let go of at our Burning Bowl service. And even if you weren't here, my guess is that you've been doing some reflecting about what you'd like to let go of from the last year. What you'd like to let go of in your life, period, maybe for the first time ever. If you haven't been doing that, do that. It's good for us to clean things out. It's good for the pipes to get flushed every now and then, our consciousness pipes. And then on January the 6th, last Sunday, we had our white stone ceremony. And even if you weren't here for that one, what we did was meditate upon what it is that we wish to be, what it is that we wish to practice and focus upon in the coming year. Might be one word, might be a phrase. And you don't have to have a white stone to do it, but I carry it in my purse with me all the time in its own special little bag now. And it's surprising how much it is with me every day here in my body thought. And it is what I wish to create for this coming year. So if we're going to create for the coming year, we need to know what tools we need to do that. The law of mind action says briefly that the thoughts that you hold in your mind create in their own likeness. And the example I always like to use is, if you are a motorist who believes that everybody out there driving a car is a jerk, then you're going to experience every motorist out there as a jerk. That's what your experience will be. It will line up with your thoughts. If you believe that you are not worthy of your birthright of goodness and abundance and clarity from the divine, then you will not experience that to the fullness that you can. So if you've got any of that hanging on stuff that says I'm not worthy, or I'm only worthy of this much, not this much, then let's start to put that to bed, shall we? I mean, the choice isn't that hard. Yes, I want to experience the fullness of God's goodness. Or, I don't want to. Now, here's where we trick ourselves. Because in the great divine laboratory, we are very smart rats. And we would say to ourselves, oh, of course I want that. And yet we would sabotage it every day by our own words, by our own thoughts, by our can'ts, our I won'ts, I don't, it's their fault that I'm not doing this, they're the ones standing between me and my happiness. It's just us, as the song says. When it comes down to our happiness, when it comes down to our joy, it's us. We're the ones. So it requires us, A, to pay attention to what we're thinking. And we are capable of, you know, the one that that observes you thinking? You know that part of you? Who is that? It's you. It is your best you observing yourself thinking. So it's not that hard to find the part of you that knows the best. Observing yourself when you're not that. And eventually it becomes uncomfortable not to be that. Not to do that. Not to think that. One of my teachers used to call it stinking thinking. So every time we blame somebody else because we're not happy, we have created I'm going to call it a thought feeling in our lives that we have no responsibility for our happiness, that other person does, that other situation does, my health does. I want to read to you a little story. Next month I'll be teaching Lessons in Truth on Wednesday nights. This was my very first Lessons in Truth book. It's really old. It's yellowed. It has my former married name in it, my ex-husband's name that I've crossed out. And written my other name in here. But this came from the Unity of Arlington bookstore, my very first Unity church. And I remember when I first started reading this book, it blew my mind. Because it took me into a space of audacity to believe that God was that good. To believe that I didn't have to be in fear, that I wasn't going to be punished except the punishment that I inflicted upon myself. There's a little bit of breathlessness in all that freedom, isn't there? It just takes a little getting used to. That's all. So there's a story in here about a woman who was unsophisticated. She didn't know religious science any more than a babe knows of Latin, she says. Her face, however, was radiant with the light of the Christ manifest through her. She sought all of her answers in prayer because she wasn't going out there to find spiritual light from other people. And one day, in all earnestness, she asked that some special word of his might be given directly to her as a sort of private message. These words flashed into her mind from Matthew 6. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. No man can serve two masters. She'd read these words many times, but that day they were illumined by Spirit, and she saw that to have an eye single meant seeing but one power in her life. While she saw two powers, God and devil, good and evil, she was serving two masters. From that day to this, though she had passed through all sorts of troublous circumstances, this was written in the early 1900s, trials of poverty, illness in family, intemperate husband, that can mean so many things. She found always the most marvelous, full, and complete deliverance out of them, all by resolutely adhering to the single eye, seeing God only. She would not look even for a moment at the seeming evil to combat it or rid herself of it, because, as she said, looking at God with one eye and this evil with the other is being double-eyed. And God told me to keep my eyes single. Wow. It's a good thing that grace exists, that we don't suffer all the consequences of our thoughts. Otherwise, we'd just be a mess. So we have an opportunity to focus on a word or a phrase and turn our thoughts, not just this mind part here, but the thought field, into something we wish to live out in our lives. I'm not going to tell you what my word is, but I can tell you already that it is manifesting itself because it lives with me. It's part of me now. It gives a place for my feeling thoughts to land, so that I might experience them in manifestation in my life. Isn't that a liberating thing? That we can begin to change the course of our lives. Now, we can do it with stuff. That's the easy manifestation. Might take a while, but we can manifest stuff. See this beautiful thing right here? See this beautiful thing? Mm-hmm. This beautiful thing right here. I held this in my thoughts. Twenty-five years. 20 7 years. 27 years, I wanted to have, if I was going to be the speaker, to have a nice acrylic lectern. And after 27 years, it manifested. And you know what it took? An ask. So this was my birthday present last year. I love it. Thank you. And if you want to take your energy and manifest parking places closer to the store, that's fine. Go ahead and use your powerful, God-given mind resources to manifest parking spaces, if you care to. You can also use that great, powerful engine in you, that generator, to create loving and supportive relationships in your life, because you are a loving, supporting person. You can use that great, powerful engine generator in your mind and your thoughts and the feeling. You have to feel it. And you can use that to have peace in your life over something that troubles you. And you talk to me. I know that when you come to me or come to one of your prayer partners and say, "This troubles me today," you are already in the process of releasing it to a higher thought. That's what prayer is. Prayer is knowing that there is something to give you freedom and peace. And we do this, and I know we don't use this language a lot in Unity, but we do this in order to glorify God. Now that's some old-timey language, isn't it? Gonna use it anyway. Glorifying God just means I am living out the divine expression that I was created to be. God shows up because I'm here. God shows up because you're here. I see that in you. That's what we say to each other. Namaste. Just say that, will you? Namaste. I see the divine in you, beloved. And whether you do it every night probably wouldn't be a good idea to walk through Target pushing your basket and stop namaste every person that you run into. But you can namaste in your heart. You sure can. And just watch what happens when you're namaste-ing out there. See how people start to respond to you differently, how you see them differently, how you are of service to people differently. So sure, if you got stuff you want to get your stuff. Manifest that stuff. But at a higher level, think about that thing that you would most like to have in your life differently. And if it's that thing that you just said, nah, it will never be different. That's it. That's the one. For you to start shifting your thoughts. Now, the way it's going to show up won't always be the way you might have pictured it to begin with. We're going to talk about that next week. Yeah, you knew there was a catch there, right? But this week, the talk title is Your Divine Planner. I'm a kind of a planner junkie. I'll do digital calendars. I'm okay with digital calendars, but I like to have stuff written down. You know, writing it down gets it into my brain better. And I'll always, almost inevitably, get an 18-month planner, and somewhere at about month 8, I switch over to the year planner. until July, and then I get a new. So I've got, you know, I've got planners that are filled up, you know, for about 6 to 8 months, and then they're empty the rest of the time because I've got a new one. They're so pretty, you know, and they're all fresh, and gosh, a clean slate. And so my planner for my life, the one that I write in, is already starting to create my year. And I'll just share with you that Kit and Leah and I were down in the floor for hours on Thursday planning out the entire year, because it's important for us to hold a vision of what we bring and what we manifest, what we teach, how we listen to divine leadership in us to bring the very best for you, to you, and with you. Now, does that mean that it's written in stone? Heavens no. Spirit will take us whatever direction it's going to take us. But we have set the stage. We've said, yes, we are open to this. We are doing our part. And it was one of the most satisfying things to get that done. And this lesson today is about how you will use your interior divine planner, whether it's drawing, journaling, meditating, walking, doing the work of your creative hands, moving through your occupation or your vocation. Whatever it is that you do to start planning the manifestation of God's best in and through you out into the world, do that thing. You have that skill. It is your divine right. It's your divine privilege. It's your divine responsibility. Otherwise, we're dragged around through life by our feelings. Ugh. It's tiring, isn't it? Getting just yanked this way, and yanked this way. This person does this. Oh my God! And this happens. Oh my God! Get yanked around, and we're not living a conscious life. We're living a life of reactivity. Haven't you had enough of living a reactive life? Gosh, we did that for years, didn't we? I see a lot of you out there going, uh-huh. We've done that. We've done that just thinking that we were subject to the whims of life. Well, this is going to happen. Or we had the religious upbringing that said, well, you did this, so here's your karma. Whatever language the Catholic Church or whoever you grew up with gave you to imply punishment. There's nothing out there punishing us, my friends. There is only the divine urging us, because we were constructed that way. We were built that way to create, to speak our word of truth and live it. Now, my word for this year, am I going to live it every single moment? No. Nope. But it is my intention to do it as often as I can. And when I get myself out of balance and leaning too far over one leg and I'm going to tip over, to come back to that word and stand firm in it. So, is that something you think you could do? Bird is a word, a bird, bird. Thank you. Good cue. No, I'll tell you what, I don't share my word because I want it to be in my heart where I may ponder it. Like Mary did when she found out about her impending pregnancy. It needs time for gestation and care. It needs reflection. It needs to be cradled, even as I bring it forth in my life. That's how important, how vital this is to be able to understand this principle. If something isn't going your way in life, look at your thoughts. And I will say again, it doesn't matter what they do out there. Our thoughts shape our responses to them. You know, you can either take it on and chew it all up and blah, or you can let it be water off a duck's back. That's up to you. And every now and then we do have to indulge ourselves in a little bit of, oh, I don't know, pity party or rant or sorrow. Every now and then we have to do that because we're human beings. And it's good for us to identify our thought feelings so that we can do something about them, so that we can honor them as a human being, housing a spiritual being. Okay, so there is more to come on this subject. I hope I disturbed you a little bit today. I hope I've poked your comfortableness just a little bit. Because if you think you're done with your spiritual learning, watch out. Yeah, I know. Kind of silly. Watch out if you think you've achieved it. It's a temporary thing. It's a moment of triumph. And then we're on to the next. That's okay. That's okay. We're going to do it with gentleness and grace. We're going to do it with purpose, knowing that the great Creator intended for us to have and to be our very best. And I think that's okay with everybody. Let's pray. Take a deep breath, beloved. Deep breath. And in that very still, small place inside you, oh yes, beloved spirit, I choose to be informed. And yet I also choose to bring light and love and peace and clarity and love to every situation that I encounter. And when I fail, I begin again. For grace gives me opportunities that are limitless. What is that word, that phrase, that will drive my growth and fulfillment this year? write it upon your heart. So that it surfaces to your conscious mind every single time you need it. How will you be the unique expression of the divine in your world? Sometimes we go back to that great creative phrase, I am. I am. And that is the thought, that is the feeling that underlies everything. I am. Not just I exist, but I am an eternal being, born of the Creator. Planted here to forever express the imprint of the divine. I am. Bring your hands together, your namaste hands, your prayer hands, your pilgrim hands. Feel them touching each other. And quietly, with your eyes closed, say these words, I am, together. I am. Again, I am. Now open your eyes here among your friends in this safe place. Open your eyes and say it a third time. I am. And breathe, breathe. Open your hands to receive. Sometimes it's good for us to meditate with our eyes open so that we are linked to the world we cannot see and the world we can. We stand right there with a foot in each realm. And the lights are going to come up slowly now. And we're going to sing with our friends who have brought us this wonderful music today.